Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is exploration and explanation. Each of my guests is helping us explore her topic, whether it's applied physics, social media, or metaphysics. My next guest is an internet strategy pioneer. She'll provide ways to improve our web presence from her latest book, 42 Rules for a Winning Web Presence. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Philippa Games has been working with the internet applications since 1991 as an internet strategy pioneer. Philippa was an internet evangelist for a major national nonprofit organization, inspiring her colleagues to work together online and building their expertise. Since then, she formed her own consulting and speaking practice way back in 1995. As a consultant, she drills down into the visitor experience on each site and creates actionable and specific recommendations. As a speaker, Philippa excels in stripping away the geek speak and delivering practical, easy to understand, immediately applicable advice. Philippa co-authored a groundbreaking 7 Steps to Building Electronic Communities, which continues to be cited as the foundational text for social networking movement. Her latest book is titled 42 Rules for a Winning Web Presence, which she co-authored with another former guest on our show, Laura Lowell. Welcome to the show, Philippa. How are you today?
Thanks, Bill. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, and I'm doing terrific. Thank you for being our subject matter expert. And I guess diving into your book, The 42 Rules, my first question's got to be, why 42? Why not 50? Why not 25? Why'd you stick with 42?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, this book is part of a series. There's over 24 42 Rules books right now. And Laura Lowell is actually the executive editor of the whole series. So she was my editor, actually, rather than my co-author.
See.
But she chose 42, and actually, of course, it was the first thing I asked her too, is why 42. And do you remember back in the 80s, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Of course.
Well, there you go. So that's why, because remember, 42 is the ultimate answer to the ultimate question.
There you go.
Life, the universe, and everything.
That explains it all right there. We didn't need to go no further with this, Philippa, but we will. So the internet, it's broken a lot of the old rules when it comes to marketing, and so aren't rules meant to be broken? I mean, and that's the whole idea. So with the internet breaking so many conventional rules, aren't you worried that it's going to break up your 42 rules that you've laid out?
Yes. I mean, yes and no, obviously. Rule one actually is rules are meant to be broken. And in that, and that's one of the set rules in the series, that the rule one is always rules are made to be broken, and the author writes their own commentary to that. You know, and the thing is, obviously, these rules work right now. In many ways, they're not so much rules as things to think about while you're doing your own web presence. And yes, I talk a lot about how quickly things change. And things do change. And at the same time, you know, there are certain fundamental constants. So I'm really talking about business strategy and marketing in a web environment. And there are many things that don't change. I mean, all of the things that we're used to hearing about, selling skills and listening to your customers, understanding your customers' needs, having a good business model, you know, all of those things still relate to the web. The way that you do them might change and might evolve. But I think there actually are some basic ground rules that are going to be fairly constant going forward.
All right. My guest is Philippa Games, author of the book 42 Rules for a Web Presence That Wins, Essential Business Strategy for Websites and Social Media Success. And I found it interesting as I'm going through your rules, it's almost a humorous twist that your next to last rule, rule number 41, was the most intriguing title. And the title is, if you only follow one rule, follow this one. So what's the one rule?
The one rule is you have to have a clearly thought out strategy in place and at all times for everything that you do with your web presence, which is your website, social media, and email campaigns and anything else that you do on the web.
All right. Now, that's a very good rule. Why did you wait till nearly the end to give us the secret sauce?
Right. Because the rest of the book leading up to that is many of the things that go into making up that strategy, that many of the things that you have to think about in order to arrive at that strategy. And because that is the penultimate rule, and actually the last rule in the book is also fixed by the format of the series. Last rule in the book is, these are my rules, what are yours? So rule 41 is really the author's last rule. And what I do in that rule is to tie everything together and to say, you know, here's where I talked about this aspect, here's where I talked about this aspect, So here's where we pull everything together and say what this fundamentally comes down to is everything that goes into the strategy that you need to be really thinking about.
All right. My guest is Philippa Games. So Philippa, I'm just going through the rules. Some of them really stood out in my mind, and I want to talk about a couple of them, starting close to the beginning with rule number 5, make informed technology choices. Now, that is easy to say. It's hard to do in a rapidly changing technology world that we're living in right now. I mean, who could have predicted that email would give away to text messaging and that would give rise to geographical position messaging like Foursquare and so forth? So with a high demand of owning and running a business, how and where does a business owner find time to keep up with the technology trends, must less make the right choice?
Absolutely. And of course, maybe what you actually need is an outside expert or a consultant to help you. And since I'm not really a technology expert, I'm a web strategy expert. Now, I interviewed over 30 outside contributors to help me with the book. And in that particular role, I interviewed Chris Jenkins, who's the chief technology strategist for the Ohio Society of CPAs. And, you know, Chris gives some great ideas about, you know, sources to go to if you're interested in reading about technology. But he's not saying adopt everything the minute it comes out. He is saying look at what happens, look at how people use it, and look at your business and say, do you really need this? Are you just looking at it because you think it's cool and has bling factor, or will it really make you money? And how much effort is it going to take to bring you up to speed? So if you read the rule, what it's saying is how you need to think about technology and where you need to go to think or to help find people to help you think about it. Chris also talks about how he watches how teenagers use technology, because what he wants to know is whether it's easy. So he's got lots of great ideas about how to look at technology, not suggesting that you yourself as a business owner have to be the expert.
Well, let me challenge you if I can on that, Philippa, just for a minute, because easy may not necessarily be transferable across generations. First of all, for my generation, something that, you know, a teenager might find easy would be difficult for my generation. So talk to us about transgenerational sorts of ease and how technology is used differently across different generations.
Well, you know, what Chris says actually in the book is that he actually thinks counterintuitively that teens are actually pretty lazy when it comes to technology. That in his observations, they want something that is pretty intuitive to use, and if it's not intuitive, they won't go for it. So when you're working with perhaps older people who are not used to technology, they only want to press a couple of buttons, right? They're not going to drill down. So in many ways, I think what Chris is saying is if a teenager can't use it, then it's unlikely to be able to be easily taught to people who are less used to technology.
That actually makes a lot of sense. For those of us that have had teenagers in our life, we understand how they like to take shortcuts. And so that's a very good observation. So, all right, so Philippa, back to the book then. A corollary to making informed choices about technology is another one of your rules: beware of benchmarking and best practices. Again, this was a head-scratcher for me, because aren't benchmarking and best practices what tame the technology beast so we can make our better choices? We look at what others are doing in order to make more informed decisions?
Yeah, and you know, but this is actually one that I come up with my clients and people I talk with a lot. The big point about best practices or benchmarking is that you've got to know that you're actually measuring yourself against a comparable situation, that you're comparing apples with apples. Because if you're not, then looking at what other people are doing and trying to make it work for you is not going to help you. And a lot of times, you know, people will say something like, what's the typical conversion rate in my industry for an email campaign? Or how much traffic does a typical website in my industry get? And, you know, before you look at your own figures and panic about it, you've got to know what that other organization is doing. You've got to know how good their website is. Maybe their website actually doesn't convert very many visitors, so it gets a ton of traffic, but doesn't do a lot with that traffic.
And where do you go to get that information, Philippa?
Well, you know, a lot of that is pretty proprietary. I mean, obviously, a conversion rate for a given website is pretty hard to get unless that owner wants to share it with you. You can go to sites like Google Trends or Compete.com, and they will give you industry averages based on things that people can measure. You know, there are sites out there like Alexa that measure visitor volume and so on. So that you can find out trends in the industry. But when people start saying, you know, give me specific numbers that other organizations are getting, like I say, I just want to really make sure that if you want to benchmark yourself against another business or another organization, that you are doing that in a way that's going to help you, and by comparing something that you should be comparing and that you have sufficient knowledge of.
My guest is Philippa Games, and she's the author of the book 42 Rules for a Web Presence That Wins. Sort of along these same lines, I want to continue on with this thought process if we can. Another very counterintuitive rule that you have is rule number 22, that rankings don't matter. Well, of course rankings matter. I mean, how else do we measure our effectiveness, you know? If it's not rankings, what metrics should we be looking at for our websites?
You know, Bill, Vint Cerf gave me an endorsement for this book. I don't know if you know, Vint Cerf,
creator of the internet,
is exactly the creator, and I was so honored. He actually has endorsed this book, and what he actually said was, some of the anecdotes are counterintuitive, and I thought that was such a great compliment, because I love writing a title called Rankings Don't Matter, because of course it's provocative. I mean, that's why you write the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean? What it means is that only some rankings matter. So a lot of people dream up a list of keywords, or you do your research and you come up with a list of keywords, and then you go crazy looking at where they come up every day in the page. And, you know, maybe you're even looking for something like your company name, which absolutely should be number one in the search engines. But unless you have a very common company name, it probably will be, because Google, you know, has had lawsuits about that, and that we're beyond that stage. So when we're talking about keywords, we should be talking about keywords not for your name, because somebody's got to have heard of you to search for your name, but for what you do. So, you know, I manufacture widgets, so you want to be doing quite well for the keywords around your widgets. But then the actual question is, which of those keywords that brings people to your site actually generates really good quality leads or quality sales or whatever response you're looking for? And in this rule, I actually interviewed a guy called Andreas Müller, who is a search engine expert that I've been working with for a long time. And he gave me a great example. He had a client that was buying the key phrase data warehousing and enterprise data warehousing. Okay, so those sound pretty similar, right?
Yes.
You know, just one more word. And what they found by really looking at the response rates and the behavior of people coming in from those two similar sounding phrases was that people looking for enterprise data warehousing were way further down the purchasing path and much, much more likely to commit to a sale than the people who were looking for data warehousing, who were pretty much still tire kicking. And so they dropped data warehousing because it wasn't worth it, certainly wasn't worth paying for, and concentrated on enterprise data warehousing. So there are actually fewer searches being done for that, but what that means is that you have a much better chance of being higher in the display results because there's less competition.
That makes a lot of sense.
Understanding which keywords are the ones that pay off for you and then worrying about those rankings instead of, you know, generically every single possible keyword. And that's why I say rankings as such don't matter.
All right. And that makes sense. And that's a good point that you make with that story, Philippa, that ties into another one of your rules, rule number 15, one size doesn't fit all. And I think that that was a very good story that leads me to this next question. Give us some of the benefits and some of the challenges of tailoring content so that it can fit a variety of audiences.
Yeah, and I often get asked, how can I write the copy on my website because, you know, I have all sorts of different types of people coming to the site, and how can I talk to them all at the same time? You know, the answer is you don't, and you need to think about your website and your copy one visitor at a time. But one of the things that it's really helpful to do if you have different audiences who come there for different reasons is to acknowledge that and maybe use your homepage to just split them and say, you know, if you're this type of person, click here, and if you're this type of person, click here. I remember looking at the website of a convention center a little while ago for a program that I did, and you know, they literally have, if you're an event planner, click here, if you're a meeting attendee, click here, if you're an exhibitor, click here, right? And then that takes you to a sub home page where they can talk directly to that visitor who has their specific needs with that in mind, instead of trying to be all things to all people.
That makes sense. My guest is Philippa Games. Philippa, you're lighting up the phones. We do have a caller who has a question for you that wants to ask that. Caller, call in and identify yourself. What's your question for Philippa?
A longtime listener, Billy. Love your show. It's the coach. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, coach. What's the question?
I wanted to ask her about texting in relationship to a website. Does she have any experience with texting? Isn't it the new form of communication. I'm going to listen and hang up.
Philippa, is texting becoming the new form of communications? Clearly, it's overtaken email. And how does that tie into a web presence?
So, yeah, this goes back to that Rule 41 that we were talking about, which is everything that you do needs to have a strategy. So if you're using text to drive people to your website, it's kind of the same as using Twitter. You know, you see an awful lot of tweets go by without any kind of call to action, and that's fine, depending on the type of tweet. But if you're really looking to put the message out to grow your business, then obviously you need a link to your website. So you need an actual call to action if it's something where you actually want a result from the visitor seeing it. And, of course, the other thing to do is make sure that all the people receiving your texts are actually happy to receive them.
So it has to be an opt-in sort of a text, if there is such a thing. My guest is Philippa Games. She's the author of the book, 42 Rules for a Web Presence That Wins, Essential Business Strategy for Websites and Social Media Success. Philippa, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, 42 Rules for a Web Presence That Wins?
Well, you know, I think you brought out the rule, one size does not fit all. And, you know, one of the other things I talk about in there is being aware that your own situation, what you want out of your web presence and what your strategy is and what your audience is, so that you can build your own scenario. There's a lot of advice out there which is kind of one size fits all. You know, you got to do this, you got to do this. So be aware of what your own situation is. And in my experience of reviewing over 5,000 websites since 1995, I've found that 95% of them are leaving money on the table. So in the last part of the book, I talk a lot about measuring your success, evaluating the results. It's really important to do that. It's really important to install web traffic reporting, even something like Google Analytics, which can do a lot now, especially in the new version. But don't just write the check every month without knowing what you're getting for it. Think about your strategy and then really find out how that strategy is working for you and make all the money that you should be making from your website and your social media.
Very sage advice. My guest has been Philippa Games. Philippa, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.